Okay, take your Bibles, would you please, and go to John chapter 3 with me. And thank you so much for that song. I'll tell you what, heaven's getting richer. So many good friends of ours have passed away. I just heard the news this morning about my dear friend, Brother Jim Sells, has passed away and with the Lord. I don't know when that happened, several years ago or how long ago, a year ago. But I love Brother Jim, and he's now in heaven. And you know what? I'm so thrilled today that one day we will see our Lord, and there'll be no more separation. Amen? Amen. Well, Sharon and I are glad to come back here and with you folk. And I want to know, how many folk have never heard me preach? I couldn't see. You never heard me preach before. Where have you been all your life? Well, we are glad you're here this morning. And if you're here for the first time, we welcome you all as well. I want to bring a message this morning on a phrase that's been very confusing to the lives of millions and millions of people. It's a Bible phrase that Jesus Christ used, and yet people do not understand what it's all about. I heard a man on national television, and I will not mention his name, although he's from West Virginia, and had a high position in West Virginia, and has buildings and streets and highways named after him. But I will not mention his name. And he was on national television, and he was saying this: I've been born again. I have been born again. I was born again when I was baptized. I'm going to tell you right to your face, you can be baptized in every baptistry in America and every creek in America, and you'll still die and go to hell. I like that for direct preaching. Being born again does not take place when you're baptized. And there's such confusion on this phrase, born again. And yet, Jesus Christ used the phrase. And it's something that we need to understand very clearly. You know, it's amazing. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., a great evangelist, and Billy Sunday, a phenomenal, well-known evangelist. One day, we're having a conversation. And Dr. Bob Jones, our senior, was asked by Billy Sunday, how many people in our local churches do you believe are saved? And Dr. Bob Jones, senior, said, well, I think probably 50% only are saved. And I think probably 50% are not saved. And Billy Sunday came back and said, I don't agree with you. And Bob, senior, said, what do you mean by that? He said, I believe there's a higher percentage of people who go to church who have never been saved. Now, I'm not casting stones. I don't know your lives, and I don't know your background. But I do know the Bible, and I do know what Jesus Christ said is very clear and concise. And I hope today I have your attention, and you'll listen very carefully to what Christ taught about being born again. Would you all stand, please? John chapter 3, I want to read verses 1 through 4. In John 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Our dear Father, we do need the help of your blessed Holy Spirit to make known the Word of God. We don't know who's here today, Father. But I do pray, Father, that we'll make very clear what our Lord Jesus Christ meant by this Bible phrase, born again. And so, may there be attention given to thy word. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. In John 3, we had the account of this religious man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus Christ and recognized Jesus as a teacher from God. He said, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." You see, he heard of the miracles of Jesus Christ. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. He caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He cured people of leprosy. He raised people from the dead. He said, "You've got to be from God. No man can do what you're doing except God's with him." And then Jesus Christ made this revealing statement to this religious man, where Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And this man was shocked. He had no idea what Christ was talking about. He said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" You see, Nicodemus, although a religious man, although a religious leader, was completely in the dark. He had no idea what Christ was referring to. He thought that a person must have another physical birth. However, Jesus Christ was not talking about having another physical birth. Oh no. He was talking about a spiritual birth, a different birth. You see, I was born September 10th, 19... All right? That is when I was born. And when I was born, I was born into a family, and my father's name is Mike Savinsky. However, at the age of 17, I experienced another birth, a spiritual birth, where I was born again. And when I was born again, I was born into another family, a spiritual family, the family of God. And God is my Father. 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And just as I look back every year to September 10th, when I was born physically, I can look back to a specific time as a young man when I experienced being born again. And I'm going to show you what Jesus Christ taught and meant by the phrase "born again." First of all, Jesus told Nicodemus of the must of the new birth. Look at verse 7. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now look here. Very emphatically, Jesus told this man, "You must be born again." Which means this: before you as an individual leave this earth, young lady, look at me please. Hey, little girl. Before you leave this earth, little girl, you've got to be born again. Hey, young man, look at me, son. Before you leave this earth, you've got to be born again. Hey, teenager, look up. Look at me. Hey, young teenage guy and girl, you must be born again. That goes for you adults. Because if you are just born physically and that's all, then one day you will experience two deaths. What do I mean by that? Well, if you just go through life and you're just born physically, which you are, then one day you will face a physical death. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die." This young boy, this past week, 9 years of age, died at an early age. But he had an appointment. He met death. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the Spirit, neither have ye power in the day of death. And so, one day, you will face a physical death. But not only that, if you're just born physically, you not only face a physical death, you will face a spiritual death. Revelation 20:14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You know, when a person dies physically, they are separated from the loved ones. Their body is placed in the ground. However, when a person dies spiritually, he is separated from God and his loved ones for all eternity. However, if an individual is born twice, he's born physically, and then one day he is born again. He experiences the spiritual birth. Then one day, all he'll do is he'll just die physically. On September 15th of 2009, my godly mother, 90 years of age, was at the point of death. My mother got saved at the age of 40, at the age of 90, faithfully serving Christ for 50 years. A godly woman who taught Sunday school class for 45 years, who went soul winning every week. A marvelous, godly woman. Well, my mother and I were talking on September 15th. My dear mom looked at me and she said these exact words. She said, Jerry, there is no fear. There's no fear. And the next night, as I was holding my mom's hand and my mother took her last breath of life, my mother died physically, but that's all, because she was born again. And when a person is born again, the Bible says when they die physically, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are absent from the body and we are present with the Lord. Psalm 116 and verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I'm thrilled to know I was born again at the age of 17. And my friend, I know if Christ tarries, I will die physically, but thank God I'll never die spiritually, because I'll be with my Lord, because I've been born again. So Jesus not only taught the must of the new birth, but second of all, he taught the manner of the new birth, of how this comes about. Look at verse 14, please, of John 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now look here, please. We find Jesus Christ referring to a historical event that took place in the Old Testament thousands of years ago. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Of all of the events in the Old Testament, why did Christ use this one? It's very significant. I'll tell you why. You see, when God led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt on the journey to the promised land, the Word of God says that the children of Israel began to gripe against God. They began to murmur against the Lord. And they became very embittered against the Lord. And because they were so embittered against God, the Lord allowed deadly, poisonous snakes to enter the camp of Israel. And these serpents were biting the children of Israel, and they were dying by the thousands. Therefore, the people ran to Moses, and they said in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 7, we have sinned in that we have spoken against the Lord. Now, they acknowledged that they had sinned against God by their bitterness. And they said, Moses, go to God, plead to God to take these serpents from our camp, from our people. So Moses goes to God. And God said, Moses, take the metal brass, shape it in the form of a snake, wrap it around a pole, raise the pole high in the air. Tell the children of Israel, when they are bitten by the deadly snakes, if they would just but look up to the brazen serpent upon the pole, they will be healed. That was God's prescription. And never put a question mark what God describes. And so, Moses takes brass, shaped it in the form of a serpent, put it around a pole, raised it high in the air, and told the children of Israel, when you're bitten by a serpent, if you but look to the brazen serpent upon the pole, you will be healed. Here's a man walking. All of a sudden, a deadly serpent strikes him. He falls to the ground in absolute agony. He's at the point of death. He hears Moses say, look to the brazen serpent upon the pole, and you will be healed. With hardly enough energy in his body, the man turns his eyes upward. And as soon as his eyes focus on the serpent on the pole, the Bible says he was healed immediately. Now, let me show you why Christ used this Old Testament historical event to explain the new birth, being born again. In the Bible, the serpent is a picture of sin. And Jesus said, I one day will take the sin of the whole world upon my body. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bear our sin in his own body on the tree. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. So Christ was saying, I will take the sin of the whole world upon my body. 1 John 2:2 says of Christ, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But why was a serpent made out of brass? In the Bible, brass is a symbol of judgments. In other words, Jesus said, I will not only bear the sin of the whole world, but I will face the judgment of God, so man will never have to face the judgment of God. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So Christ literally faced the judgment of God, so Jerry Savinsky would never, never have to face the judgment of God, and neither for you as well. But then third of all, and this is so powerful, the serpent was made out of brass, a symbol of judgment. The serpent in the Bible is a picture of sin. They were wrapped around a pole. The pole had to be lifted up. That is absolutely crucial. You see, today, you as an individual cannot look at your baptism or your catechism or your confirmation or your denomination or your good works. You cannot look horizontally. You have to look one way, vertically. You've got to look to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So Christ is the one who tasted death for every man. That's why Christ said in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up will draw all men unto me. And so the manner of the new birth is you recognizing Jesus died for my sins. He faced my judgment. He was lifted up on the cross. I've got to look to Him and Him only. And when you do, third of all, I want to show you the miracle of the new birth. Look what Christ said in verse 15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. What a miracle! Just like when a person was bitten by the serpent in the Old Testament. Because God made the divine prescription to look to the serpent upon the pole made out of brass. They were healed immediately. When a person looks to Jesus Christ, He will save you that quickly, and He'll give you everlasting life. He will give you eternal life. You know, many years ago in South Carolina where I live, my pastor, Pastor Mike Riley, was one day preaching a message on everlasting life, about eternal life. And he stopped preaching in the middle of his message, and he said, you know, I'd like to have some of you men right now stand up and give a definition of what you think everlasting life is all about. And so, a man in our church stood up, and he gave a tremendous definition of everlasting life. And I thought to myself, well, that is really good. And then another man over here, he stood up, and he gave even a clearer definition of everlasting life. And I thought, wow, that is wonderful. Well, all of a sudden, my 9-year-old son, Todd, who was by my side, was ready to jump up, and I tried to push him down. However, it was too late. Pastor Mike Riley caught his eye, and he said, Todd, how would you describe everlasting life? And my 9-year-old boy stood up. I'll never forget this. As only a 9-year-old boy could do it. He said, Pastor, I would describe everlasting life as having life with God that never runs out. My boy said that. You know, I've gone to a Christian university. I've gone to graduate school. And of all my higher education and of all the reading I have done, I have never come across a clearer definition of everlasting life than what my little son, 9 years of age, stated. Everlasting life means having life with God that never runs out. Can you believe that? I now have everlasting life. Life that will never run out. John 3:36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. In John 10:28, Jesus said, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Titus 2 states, In hope of eternal life was God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And I thank God today, I can stand here and tell you the miracle of the new birth. Recognizing Christ died on the cross for my sins and faced my judgment. He gives me everlasting life when I call upon Him. And one day as a young man, although I did not know the Bible, I believed the message of the Bible. Just like the people who were bitten by the serpents, they had to believe the message that God gave. And every one of us in this room, we all have sinned. The Bible makes that very clear. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. We all have sinned. And since we have, the only answer for your life is coming to Christ and letting Christ save you. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray, with our heads bowed, you've listened well, and I appreciate your kindness. But we're dealing with an eternal matter this morning, and I would never embarrass anyone from this platform, and I'll not embarrass you. I'm going to have them play a song of Just As I Am, And as our brother gets ready for the song, our brothers get ready for the song of Just As I Am, I'm going to ask you just point blank. If you don't know, hey, have enough character and integrity, keep your hand down. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, can you say, Brother Jerry, one day, I recognized that it was Jesus Christ who died for me, a sinner, and for my sins. He faced my judgment. He was lifted up on the cross. I have turned to Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And I know He has saved me because I asked Him into my life. I accepted Him as my Savior. Not through baptism, not through Mass, not through anything else. I just humbly called upon Him. I looked unto Him and He saved me. And I know I've been born again. If you know that heart of gratitude, would you raise your hand to your Heavenly Father? If you don't know that, please do not raise your hand. Okay, God bless you. May put your hands down. No, I didn't even look. Why? Well, I may be tempted to direct my words towards you, and I don't want to do that. You said, Jerry, I have never experienced the second birth of being born again. And I believe the message of the Bible. And I want you to pray for God to help me to let Christ save me, that I can experience this new birth of having everlasting life. I do believe Christ died for my sins. And He faced my judgment. And He died on the cross. I believe that. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand in the air and put it right back down? God bless you and God bless you. And God bless you. As soon as you raise your hand, let me put it back down. As soon as you raise your hand, you're saying, I need to look to Jesus Christ. All right, God bless you. You may put it down. Anybody else? God bless you and God bless you, ma'am. And God bless you. Ma'am, God bless you. You know what? Jesus Christ loves you as much as He loves me. You really are the object of God's love. Jesus Christ has never turned one person down. Just like when a person was bitten by the serpent, if they just looked, they were healed. No one was exempt. They were healed immediately. You only have to raise your hand once. And if there's anybody else, say, Jerry, I know my heart. I've never have accepted Christ. Would you please pray for me as well? If you're not raised it yet, the last time we're going to ask, and then I'll give the invitation. Say, yes, include me. Our dear Father, we ask now You would direct by Your blessed Holy Spirit as we give the invitation and help the many who raise their hands. Father, take away any fear. May they come to Christ, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, would you look this way, please? I'll have the instruments drop out for just a moment. And I want to talk to those of you who raised your hand. And there were a number of you who raised your hand that you recognize you need Christ. You know, I know where you're seated, and I could look at you, but I'm not going to look at you, okay? Although, look at me, lady. Look at me, sir. You raise your hand. I know where you're seated. Although I'm not looking at you, I'm directing my words just as if you and I were the only one here. You know what, lady? It took a lot of courage for you to raise your hand. And sir, it took a lot of courage for you to raise your hand, man. It would have did. As a child, it took a lot of courage for you to do that. In a moment, I want you to listen to me. We're inviting you to come. And Jesus Christ, as I told you, has never turned one person down. He won't turn you down. All you got to do in a moment, we stand. Step up where you're standing. You come right to Pastor Tony. When you come as a lady, there'll be a lady. You will make a speech. Sir, you will make a speech. Someone will take the Bible. They'll take you to a side room, and they'll show you how you can just pray and invite Christ into your hearts. You see, you mean I've got to ask Him? Yes. No one forced the person to look to the brazen serpent upon the pole. They had to do it on their own. And my friend, when you come to Him, you'll thank God you did. Amen, congregation? Amen. Amen. So, if you want to be saved, you raise your hand. I want to encourage all of you who raise your hand, step out immediately. You come right to the pastor. Someone take you to the side room, and you'll thank God you came to Christ. We're going to sing a song, Just As I Am. No songbooks. Our brother's going to lead us right now. Let's all stand as we sing the song, Just As I Am. And you who raise your hand for salvation, would you right now make your way to Pastor Tony? Let's sing in good and loud, all right? Let's sing.